Greetings, Enterprise crew. Captain Ian here to tell you that you're about to listen to the first ever edition of Captain's Pod Buffer Time. When the Ambassador and I get together, we chat a lot, and gigaquads of those conversations are recorded and never heard. Until now! I've compiled a selection of conversations from the last year that have never been published for fear of being just too bloody random. You'll hear about Lost Notes, Worm Tea, British Confectionery, Extra Dimensional Spirits, the DMV, Baldur's Gate, Plants, Bass, and of course, Animal Shenanigans. A more traditional episode of Captain's Pod will return on Wednesday, the 29th of January, where the Section 31 movie will be getting the Cinterprise treatment. Until then, enjoy some buffer time and live long and podspa.
Well, that is now loud. That is now loud, and I need to check my levels. Holy moly. And I'm late. Crap.
What would your transporter clones name themselves? I think mine would probably try to go for something as epic as that pre-Socrates sort of Socrates.
Anaximander?
What's Socrates? Who called him Socrates? Was that on Bill and Ted?
Bill and Ted. Socrates. Yeah. Socrates is anus.
Yeah, I'd want to do something like that.
Yeah.
I've always liked the really long names.
One of my favorite names is Ethan, and it's so similar to Ian that I think my transporter clone would just be Ethan. Like, oh yeah, that's similar. Yeah.
So you would just go with your own Ethan. Name, but a couple.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Very.
Same amount of syllables as well.
Just I take the name and make middle. It something like really like intricate. And
no, I'm just adding TH to the middle of mine, Ethan.
Like, I just don't want to think about that. What's your favorite episode of any Star Trek? Oh, shit. Oh, my
Which episode
gosh.
Of Strange New Worlds is your favorite?
I don't remember a lot, honestly. Like, the first thing I thought of was the body swap episode.
That's really fun. That's from season two, I think.
And then I also thought of the cave episode because it was like such a great
The comet
introduction
and the music?
Of everything.
Yeah, like, that was episode two.
Whole vibe.
Yeah.
Elysium Kingdom or something.
Yes. Lord of the Dungeons and Dragons episode.
It's so unique in how it like. I don't think that's a good one-off one, but that was mm-hmm. a fun episode that was a bit unexpected. Man, there's so many memories that I'm having, which is great because I have none of that happening with Lower Decks and I just watched it.
That's a good sign.
There was some from Picard I really loved. I think I probably would end up landing on some Picard as season three because it brought back my TNG people and kind of gave me a reference of like what they're up to and kind of how things are going. And I loved seeing old Worf. So
just chops the head off a Ferengi. It's amazing.
There's something about like also seeing them in like the more modern storytelling elements.
Yeah.
I love old TNG. The pacing is different era for TV, different era for storytelling and different era for people's attention spans. Mm-hmm. But there was some stuff for Picard that I think I needed it in a way. And I got really emotional watching it.
A lot of closure.
I heard the dogs like really giving a fuss and barking at each other. But I didn't know that they were barking at each other. I thought they were barking at the cat. And it was like the growly kind of barking where you kind of have to worry that there is something bigger kind of going on. Like it was like
territorial.
Like it had a little bit of that blah, 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 blah sound to it. And then I heard a whimpering sound like, you know, and in my mind, I thought that the dogs were likely like attacking the cat and the cat had just swiped an eyeball. And because it kind of could have been that. So I come running out of the bathroom to address the situation. I caught myself on video. I had to go back and watch this. I said, "What the fuck?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Iris heard it.
Yeah.
And she's not used to me saying this.
That's weird. She should be.
No, I've been really good. Let's see if I can do this. So.
Go load up.
Okay. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is the exact. This is exactly what my daughter hears because this is on the audio of my mm-hmm. cameras.
What the fuck?
Oh, that was aggressive.
It was really intense.
Sometimes it's easy to miss the C and the K.
No.
But you got both of them. Yeah, you got the C and the K.
It was legit. I thought I was coming out into like an animal fight. I thought like I was in boss mode.
Yeah.
And it was just out of me.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
With authority.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to hear it again?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
What the fuck?
Oh, so you put like three syllables in that.
So she's in the bathroom, which is just, you know, very close. And she hears it. Now, she was having a hard time. She was in a sad mood. And so she has like some tears going on because she was having a hard time. But when she hears me say this, the way that I said it, which is very different than she's ever, like, she doesn't hear me talk like that.
No.
That was a lot. Cause I'm like, I'm breaking up an animal fight here and I'm going to come in alpha. And so I did. And she gets this like little glint in her eye and like a little grin because this is a new word from mom. It's an intense word from mom. And she is really good at listening to language now and reading and writing. And so when she's heard me say it in the past, it's been like a word mixed in with many other words and she can't really pull out the word she's not supposed to say. This, as you rightfully pointed out, was enunciated.
Yeah.
So
that was the verb in that sentence.
Yeah, that was a lot. The rule is you don't acknowledge it.
Yeah, I mean, there comes a point where that doesn't work.
That's true. But right now, in her phase of life and her age and like how things have been going, if you just kind of like don't say anything, she doesn't notice. So when I've said shit in front of her, she doesn't, unless I make a big deal of it. Like if I say, Iris, I just said something, da 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 da, and I draw attention to it, then she's like, oh, this is a big deal. If I just move on, maybe she doesn't think it's a big deal, but when you make it a big deal, then that's when the energy gets.
Hopefully, it goes into the short-term memory bank and just gets disappeared.
It's gone.
Hey, what was I doing? You were going to bed. Oh yeah, I forgot.
Exactly. I didn't see what happened in the adjacent room. I heard what happened, and my fear was that the cat had done what I thought the cat might be doing.
Yeah,
and that the cat was now needing to hide somewhere. Maybe injured. And I'm like, oh my God, I have my cameras. I can just look and see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. And I turn the volume down, except for that my phone, which is very frustrating, has 17 volume options of various things that could be open and on. And I turned the wrong one down. So at full volume, she's in bed and I'm there with her. And I decide I'm going to watch it right there instead of just, you know, waiting a couple minutes because I was worried about the cat. So she hears that right, like just loud as can freaking be right there.
What the fuck?
I look over at her and I was like, and she looks at me and she gets that same glint in her eyes.
She knows.
And like the smile. And I'm just like, I'm just ignoring it. And I'm looking for the cat. I don't see it. I decide to watch it again. Turn the volume down this time.
Yeah.
Except for that I don't. I make a mistake again. And so,
What the fuck?
Because I had screamed at them. Because did you hear like the, do you want to hear what that sounded like?
I heard the scramble, yeah.
What the fuck?
That sounds like someone's getting eaten.
At this point though, Iris, she goes, what the funk? Like, and she tries to emulate what I said. And now my job is to not be entertained.
That's hard.
Uh-huh. And so I said, Iris, you can't say that. Like, you can't say that. And she goes, okay. Now, a little backstory real quick. There are some words that she knows she cannot say at school, but I'm okay with her saying in the house.
Okay, that's a good distinction.
Specifically, the word butthole. I feel like that's... Yep. She talks...
Crusty butthole.
Crusty butt, exactly. And one day I talked about how important it is to wipe because we don't want to have a crusty butthole. Immediately regretted using those phrases. Like I immediately regretted it.
Yeah.
But she started to sing a song about it and I started laughing. No. And it was one of those moments I couldn't keep it together. She starts singing a song about the crusty butthole. And I thought it was really funny and I went into the moment. So we made a rule. You have, like, yes, you can say that, but you can only say it at the home. Like, I don't want you getting in trouble at school or bombing Bobo's house or really anywhere. Just keep it home. Keep it home. Buttholes for the home only. She put... So she goes, okay, mama, I won't. And I was like, okay, thank you. And she goes, what the fuck? Now, she's using an N. I'm not correcting her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not correcting her. And I was like, Iris, I just told you not to say that. She goes, oh, I thought it was a I can say it at home situation. I said, no, this one's off limits anywhere.
This one's a no. There is no funk. I'm waiting for somebody. This will happen in a few years when some other kid will be like, what the fuck was that? And she's like, you're saying it wrong. It's what the
you're
funk.
You're saying it wrong. It's funk.
Actually pronounced funk.
She probably would too.
The N is silent.
Oh my God.
Wait, did you click Baldur's Gate again?
Again.
Was it just autopilot? You sat at the computer and then clicked Steam and waited for a friend invite?
We've been playing too much.
Have you seen how many hours we've played Baldur's Gate together?
Do you want to know what's been haunting me lately from our Baldur's Gate game? And then we need to get to, I know we got to actually talk about, you know, Star Trek. So we traded all of our stuff to that quartermaster.
Yeah, I know where this is going. Yeah.
Including all of the gems that I had been hoarding.
Yes.
And the bottles.
Sold them all. Yeah.
And then the quartermaster died.
Brutally. Yeah.
And I don't know. There's not a, I won't go back to that save point and go again.
No, you won't, because that was 6 hours ago now. That was so long ago. I don't know how or where the gems are now, because they died. But when we search their body, as we do, we always search our allies and loot them after they die, especially if there's no witnesses. There were no gems. So are you worried that the bad guys now have all of Tavi's gems?
No. It's not even like a role play thing. It's a Danae thing. I think, wow, all of that inventory is just gone now. It's purged from the game.
Oh, because you can revisit a merchant and buy that stuff back. Got it. So anything we accidentally sold to them is gone forever. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And there was that one battle where some of the people, like the NPC allies, just walked through a wall of fire.
A wall of fire that I created, and our NPC allies just Leroy Jenkins through the wall of fire, because that's where the target was. Like, sometimes the pathfinding is really intelligent, but 75% of the time, it's really dumb.
We are in we're in Baldur's Gate finally.
Finally got into Baldur's Gate. 180 hours into the game, and we've arrived at Baldur's Gate. And we were immediately overwhelmed and went underground because there was too much. There was too much. It was like this huge shopping mall, and we decided to pick some back alley market because it was smaller.
We got into the city, and it's just like, no. This is
too much.
Too many people to talk to. Like, this screen is littered with quests that we're supposed to, like, it's just too overwhelming. Both Ian and I are thorough dungeon crawlers.
Yeah.
We want to see the entirety.
Everything you programmed, I want to speak to it. Everything you bothered to put in there.
So we go into, like, the first room, which leads into a room that has like a jail cell. So we're going to look at the jail cell. And then in the back of the jail, there is literally an opening to the sewer.
There's a poop chute.
And we're like, okay. And we go down there and it's a nice dungeon crawl. I'm like, though it smells like all the shit from the city down here, it sure is nice to not be around all those people.
There's a couple of like zombies we know we can kill, and it's like we should just play Super Mario. Like, we don't really want an open world game. We want to just be on rails.
It took me over a month to realize your Baldur's Gate character is just your name in a different order.
Yeah, my character's name is Nai, N-A-I. I just reversed my name.
And
yeah.
I didn't even notice it until naming a few weeks ago.
Yeah, naming doesn't do much. When I'm writing stories, creating character names is my least favorite thing to do. Like, I want it to have too much meaning.
Just found this note here.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know, it's one of my old to-do lists. So this is obviously completely unrelated to Star Trek in any way, because it's not a Star Trek list.
Oh, okay. I say it could have been related. It's possible.
I have no idea what it's for, but here are the things I did not accomplish on this list.
Oh, from 1997.
Bring shorts and socks. So I guess it was during the summer.
I guess it was a summer list, yeah.
Yeah, right? Cake.
I mean,
a knife for cake.
Yes, on every list.
That's it.
I hope
the cake was good, and I hope we were able to cut it, because I obviously didn't bring it.
That's got to be like Iris's birthday or something.
Oh, yes, it was for her birthday.
Are you kidding? Yes! I'm a genius.
Because now I'm reading the whole rest of the list. Oh, that was a good time. Well, you were here for this one. No, you weren't.
Can I tell you about this plant that I got?
Yes. Please do. Please.
So, this plant. Did I tell you about a few weeks ago when my mom told me she was coming over with a plant? A huge plant?
Yes. Yeah. Was this, did she get a selection of plants from somebody, from a relative that died?
Okay, something? So that's definitely happened, and those are all dead. Great job,
okay,
mom.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
She was driving home, a couple doors down, neighbor had a massive box just like free. Apparently, this particular neighbor, I think you can call him neighbor if they're within five houses, right?
No, it's the they have to be next to your house. I'm very specific about your neighbor is the person directly next to you.
Would it be then the neighbor once removed?
The one in your neighbor, person in your neighborhood. Why have neighborhood if neighbor covers all of it?
So then I could say two doors down.
Perfect.
That's fine.
If they live two doors down.
For this story, they do, because I don't know the truth and I'm not going to find out. The two doors down person apparently is this elder woman who is very good with plants. So good that they grow really, really well. And then she can't keep up with them anymore. And so she's just like, get it out. I don't. So her house births these two massive things. One is a fern that is the size of a Lazy Boy recliner.
Get out. It's not that big.
Huge.
That's ridiculous. That's not going in your house.
They sort of poof out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like when you grab all their fronds or whatever and you kind of push them together and tie them up to transport them, which we had to do, you know, it kind of gets a little smaller, but whenever you let it floof out, it's huge. So there was that one.
Yep.
And the other was this collection of tropical, I'm guessing they're a tree.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
It's a palm tree, isn't it?
They look very palm tree-esque in a way. Anyway, the newest development with this is my mom comes over to the house with it, knowing that my best friend Jen is going to be here. And Jen is like the plant guru.
Yeah, she knows her stuff. Yeah.
Of my group, yeah. If I was going to pit her against another group's plant person, I don't know how she would fare, but
this community's plant, but I'd put her up there.
She seems to know her shit.
She knows enough technical words that she can bullshit me.
Yeah. I got the word frond from her, you know?
That makes so much sense now. That context really helped.
She's the one that was responsible for tearing this tropical clumping up into small tropical clumpings to then plant into smaller plants so that each of us could have home part of this.
She didn't give you the technical words for that part of the process.
No, she didn't. How can you tell?
Yep.
The word clumping.
Yep. Gave you away.
Fuck. Okay. Where does this plant like to live? What do I need to know? I'm going to kill it.
Los Angeles is the answer.
Right. I don't live in the tropics. I live in Missouri.
You live in a desert.
And my house does not have traditional north, south, east, west facing windows. My house is on an angle. So I don't have ideal rooms that do cool plant shit. I would have to create a biome.
And yet you persist in buying plants.
I didn't buy it.
But you do persist in buying plants.
I didn't buy it.
Not this
I buy
one.
Plants that can live in my house, low light plants.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The high maintenance plants I have are because Jen's like, try this one.
Got it. Oh, good. Yeah, that makes sense.
And now my mom, same thing.
Yeah.
I decide the best place for this plant to live is in the worst place it could be, but it's best for the plant, which is my bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's awkward.
Because it needs to have, you know, like some moisture in the air, which happens whenever I shower. And in that room, I have two windows. One of them, the old, like weird 80s style tiled square pieces that lets in light, but doesn't let people see that you're naked.
Okay. That thing. You like the one that's in my bathroom that you don't like, but smaller.
You don't have that.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
You have a pane of glass that is slightly warbled.
It's not slightly. It's heavily warbled.
I get the plant into my bathroom. I haven't touched it. I don't even know if I should water it. I don't know anything about this plant, except for that all of a sudden it started to do something. Look at what's happening.
Oh, it's like sprouting things, blossoms.
Last weekend when Jen was over, I said, there's something in my bathroom. I need you to tell me what the fuck it is. She goes, Okay.
I mean, if it started growing independently of the plant, I would worry. But that's part of the plant. Yeah,
it is. Apparently, it's so happy it's about to flower. It looks like a little tiny mini corn started popping out of the middle of it, and I was like, mm-hmm. "What is that?" And then over the course of 5 days, it has just. That part has grown probably 6 inches. And then there's all these other little corn things coming off of it. Again, yes, she hasn't told me the technical terminology yet. You can probably mm-hmm. guess.
Yep. That looks corny.
Doesn't that look cool?
That's really cool. Well, you're clearly doing something right.
It is happy where it is, which is great news, bad news, because I'm like, this is literally, I have to go around it to get to my fucking toilet.
And also, now the plant isn't decorative. You are a function for it to live. Like, it isn't doing anything for you by existing in the bathroom. It's not being a pretty thing that guests can look at or that you can appreciate. It is now a parasite that is feeding off of your environment. Yeah.
Yeah.
A burden you did not need in your life.
I know. Okay, here's my plan.
Okay.
It's developing in my brain right now.
This always goes well.
Wait for it to flower. mm-hmm. Take a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Sell it for $100.
The picture?
The plant.
I don't know. You take a good enough picture, you might be able to sell the picture. There's got to be plant people out there that like photos of plants because they're easier to maintain than actual plants.
They're not going to pay $100 for something they can just Google.
Dude. Not with that attitude. They can't Google the plant that's in your bathroom.
Why would they want that specific plant in my bathroom?
Because you're doing so well with it. It's acorning, whatever you said.
Yeah, it's corning. That's right. Do you feel the same way that I feel? Like that your candies are very strangely named. Do you feel that same way about the US candy?
Differently named. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Can you just go ahead and read that one out loud for the audience at home?
So the actual name of this candy, the full-sized one, is a double decker. And
that's not what you're eating.
And this is a dinky decker. Have you ever heard how Aaron Dicer, fellow CinemaZins person and Strange New Worlds lover. Danae's best friend, Ian's best friend. Mm-hmm. How he...
Whoa. You can't steal my best friend.
Yes, I can. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird. You think I shouldn't, but I can.
You really did. swooped in.
Swoop in and it's like, we best friends now? Because I mentioned Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Do you know how he eats chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just describe how he eats chocolate.
He unwraps it, puts mm-hmm. it on a table, leans over the top of it, and just licks it till it's gone.
Very close.
It's really weird.
That's not far off what he actually does.
No, he likes to suck it.
Yeah, he sucks it. Mm-hmm. So he broke off like a little chunk of like Cadbury's Dairy Milk because you can put it into squares. And he just explained it to me. I just put it on the roof of my mouth and then occasionally mm-hmm. I'll lick it every now and again. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck eats chocolate like that?
I do that with, it depends on the chocolate, but I do that with some chocolates.
So you don't bite at all?
Aaron is more consistent that way.
Yeah.
It depends on the chocolate. It depends on the candy for me.
No biting. Every single candy is the same to him. Yeah, everything is a sucker.
Mm-hmm. He wants it to last.
But I was like, what you're getting is a coating of liquid chocolate over your gums, teeth, everywhere.
How is it different?
Because I feel like the chocolate is localized when you bite it into one place. But it's going to be in your mouth for so long.
It's still so there's like you pop it up in the roof of your mouth and then you're mm-hmm. just kind of like a baby is nursing off of mom's teat.
Exactly how he does it. Yeah.
Yeah. You just kind of suck on it and then it just goes on the tongue down into the throat and down the stomach to be deliciously. But it coats the tongue. Whereas I feel like if you chew it, you know, it's just getting more places technically, but it's also in the saliva as well. So it's not like. There's no way to get it. I just think it's interesting. You're like, it gets everywhere if you do it this way. And I think it's the same.
No, I think it's more. I think his wife agreed. Like, we were there just like munching chocolate and Aaron's just like sucking on the same piece. I'm like, you're a psychopath.
I do that with Junior Mints almost every single time. I can't just chew a Junior Mint. They're the perfect size to just pop up on there for the mouth and just
Which
suck.
Those are Junior Mints.
Those are the ones that have like a minty kind of creamy center.
So
and then they're just once dipped into a dark chocolate. So it's a very thin chocolate exterior and it's kind of just like a really, it's gooey. So it goes up there nicely.
We don't have those. We have a square version that's called After Eight. And it is basically a two-dimensional square with that liquid mint fondant inside.
We have some of those too.
Yeah. After eights are delicious.
They're so yummy.
Have you played the game where you put it on your face and then you've got to wiggle it down your face and then get it in your mouth without... Yeah. That's a great one to do with
that's
kids.
That's not a game.
Yeah.
That's a prank.
Yeah, that too. Both things can be true. So do you want to hear something that's... I really want to know your opinion on what you would do in this situation. So,
okay.
TV show came out a couple of years ago. Lots of people will know it, called Severance.
Okay.
I'm not going to spoil anything about the show other than the conceit, which is very clear going in. The conceit is that you have the option to bifurcate and partition your brain in a way that means you don't remember the 8 hours that you're at work. So you go into an elevator, and the second you hit the floor that you're working on, you switch into work Danae. And then that work Danae experiences the 8 hours work day, leaves, and then zoop, you're in non-work Danae. So there's two different people. The work Danae only ever experiences work. As soon as they leave, they're back in the elevator starting the next day. Home Danae never experiences work. Home Danae goes in the elevator, and in the next instant, they're leaving the elevator, coming home after 8 hours of working. And the idea is that it gives you the perfect work-life balance, because your work self is only at work, your home self is only at home, and you never, would you do it?
Fuck no.
Not even for a second?
Abso-fucking, not even for, I would, no hesitation, no.
What if you could guarantee?
Abso-fucking-lutely not.
What if you could guarantee that? Well, no, you can't guarantee anything.
There you go. That's why I'm saying fuck no.
I wanna say yes, but also no, I want to say yes, but I can't. I cannot contemplate only being at work. And that part of me exists. It's there, it's at work. But but then I don't know that, because when I'm at home, I don't know that. So it's living two lives at the same time. It's such a fucking awesome concept for a TV show, and the show is great, but I'm like stuck between two places, because I'm like, great idea, terrible idea. And the bottom line is, it's a great idea if I'm only the home person, but that's not how it works.
I guess it depends on what your job is. This is assuming that you have a job that you do not enjoy.
This is data entry. Like, this is like staring at a monitor,
like factory
for 8 hours.
Work kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's monotonous. Yeah,
like you are a cog in the great wheel and there's no escape. So in this world, are you agreeing to work for that organization for the rest of you? Is this like a life contract? I will work this job? Or does work life get to have agency to find other work?
So without in this scenario, it's shady.
You have the same job. Okay.
Yeah, you pretty much have the same job.
Of course
job.
It's so shady.
You
this
can
is
put
the perfect setup for shady.
Of course it is. Yeah, going in is like, yeah, no, this is an amount of anonymity that big business should not be trusted with.
The people in the elevator say, okay, work person, let me tell you what we have to do. We need to turn you into an assassin. And this is for the betterment of society. Yeah. You're not going to remember it. Your home life isn't going to remember it. We'll keep everything separate for you. We want to, and that person is like, oh, okay. And so they live a double agent life. That's the setup. That's
well, now
what
it
this
sounds
is
really
doing.
Cool. Now I want to do that.
Don't fucking do it. Cause then you don't get to have home life anymore.
You do. Only
if the system is protecting you enough that you don't get killed, because then there is no home life.
Okay. I see that.
And also you have to have a system of checks and balances where work life person gets to check in with home life person and vice versa. So work life person has this agency to go, hey, everything is great. I am number one in my data entry.
Yeah.
Totally lying because they're an assassin. And at home person gets to say, like, are you sure? Because you look a little bit different. Like, you're really muscular now. And how am I getting these muscles? And
where
I noticed
are these
that whenever
scars coming from?
I've got a lot of scars.
Why can I suddenly speak Russian?
Exactly. My coffee cup was falling off of the counter and I just reached out and snatched it like a ninja. Are you sure? It's just data. I should have carpal tunnel, not ninja skills.
Hey, what about the laser beam eyes? When the fuck did that happen?
pretty quickly when you work for an evil organization and you just are shut off for work mode, that's going to take over your home life. So yeah, it's the idea that like you're choosing to just only want to have the good parts of the pie and not pay attention.
Oh my goodness.
It's just not healthy. You know, you need to be, you know, your home life influences your work life and your work life influences your home life. And also if you only have two versions of yourself, that's really limiting. You can have all kinds of things. What about your artful life? What about your, like, are you supposed to just pack all of the extra parts of who you are into your quote unquote home life so yes. that you go home and that's
work purely becomes a function to earn money. That's it.
Enter the studio, click on the button. Hello.
Hello.
I did it. I'm late because I was researching hermit crabs.
Why are you researching? Right, okay. Well, I mean, yesterday you were like, I'm not going to tell you now, but please remind me to talk to you about pets on tomorrow's show. So yeah, we're not allowed to talk to each other outside of the show now.
Did you know they can live up to 10 years?
Longer than that. It's really weird because I've started listening to a podcast called Radiolab, which is like an educational thing.
Did you listen to the Hermit Crab one?
I just listened to the Hermit Crab episode this week. It's so good.
I love that episode.
When did you listen to it?
When it came out.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, I was going to share it with you because it had this like message about, it was a really profound message that I now cannot remember.
Oh, so the idea, I think, if I remember correctly, is that you wait for the right shell.
Yeah, that was.
It was very interesting yeah. because you've got a hermit crab that they keep shifting. So it's like when another crab comes and they fit into the shell better, they keep shifting around.
Yeah. And it's kind of like waiting to find
the right shell,
the perfect cause and like the right shell.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was like oddly like profound when it just started off as like crabs, because the wild thing about crabs in general, like the thing from that episode that blew my mind, was that they have evolved on Earth 5 independent times. Like they haven't, the hermit crabs and the regular crabs that we see today haven't just come from one animal like we came from primates, etc. 5 independent things decided to evolve into this thing that has hard shell with pincers and legs. Like he's just loved by Earth. So I'm like, there's a good chance that like they evolved on other planets. And it made me think about Star Trek, because we're always just like, why do all of the aliens look like humans? I was like, maybe it's just evolution favors this bipedal form. Maybe that's just what it is. So interesting.
Okay, every week in the chat, our live chat during the show, somebody says, so Danae, what pets are you obsessed with this week?
Did you steal any dogs?
Mm-hmm.
We have emails about it. Yep.
I kind of love that there's this sort of curiosity / accountability to this part of my personality that likes to acquire living
encouragement.
Things.
Encouragement. I'm worried that it's going to encourage you. Oh, this will make a great story on the show. Don't do it.
I'm not. But then a couple of days ago, Iris informs me that they have class pets and that they will be given to the families to care for.
Oh,
and I'm assuming it's during the spring
break. Summer breaks and stuff.
And winter break. And so she's just learning about what the class does. And so she informs me that she is going to actively try to get a hermit crab. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill her class pet.
Yeah, no, you are. You're absolutely going to kill her class pet.
Thanks for the confidence, Ian.
No, but I would. Hermit crabs are like tricky what's it.
They are tricky what's it. They're very sensitive.
The cool thing about like, I'll just go back to that episode, is that the lady that had all of these Kermit frogs.
Did she also have some Miss Piggies in the back?
Yep. She's trying to breed Kermit frogs and Miss Piggies and it wasn't working. She was trying to breed the hermit crabs. And the first time that she tried, all of the babies died. Just gradually, they died. And she was like, I've controlled all of the environment. And it was only when she stopped controlling the environment and introduced random things like fluctuating temperatures, different tides, that they succeeded, because they were like, they'd evolved to breed in the sea, which is unpredictable and has all of these different things. And so they didn't do well in a controlled environment. It's so interesting.
It is interesting. I guess that means there's a chance that they're going to survive. I did go to her class party And during the Valentine's class party, they handed out chocolate. They were talking about different kinds of chocolate and where the the cacao bean pod comes from and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And the children are learning about where chocolate comes from. And then the teacher, or no, the guest speaker parent person hands out 90%+ dark chocolate to the children.
That'll put the kids off candy.
Why is it so bitter?
And it wasn't even a small piece. This was the size of her pinky in length.
You can't sell it. It's horrible.
All the children just begin to gobble it up, and then you just watch their faces as they begin to taste the flavor. Uh-huh. It was amazing. One of the little boys walks over to the hermit crab terrarium, opens it up, and just chucks his chocolate in there.
No.
So if the hermit crabs can survive bitter chocolate, I'm pretty sure they're going to be okay at my house, but it's a big TBD.
I have a, is this as weird as I think it is, question.
Okay.
Yeah. So I go to the opticians yesterday. They're an English brand called Specsavers, and it's just to get my new glasses. I'm keeping the same frames. They've put the lenses into my old frames, measuring it, putting it on my face, and they're just like, can you read this for me, read this bit of paper? So I pick up this bit of paper that's laminated, so everybody obviously reads it to make sure that the vision is correct, and I read the first line.
Oh no, did you sin it?
No, I didn't. Okay. But no, I did. This is me sinning Specsavers completely. Okay. So I read it, and it says, did you know Specsavers also did hearing tests? And I was like, read the next line. Book your free appointment now. That's genius and really insidious at the same time. Like, you are getting me to read your advert.
Oh my God, that is fucking funny.
But I just like looked at the guy and he went, mm-hmm.
he hates that part of his job so much.
Somebody is so happy that they came up with that. Somebody in corporate.
Yeah.
And everyone in the store is like, oh, fuck. Do you have any animal stories? We always do an animal story because Danae has two dogs and has adopted a cat. Do you have any dogs with you at the minute? Sometimes you have a dog.
Do I have like a, God, I mean, I should. I mean, I used to own a bunch of dogs. We lost like four dogs like in like a 2-year period. And so that was about 5.
Oh my goodness, that's rough.
Yeah, we were like running like an old dog home. And but I used to have St. Bernards, and those are very fun. With the exception Beasts. Of that slobber, you can lay tile with that slobber, man.
Jowly individuals. Yeah. Paulie, you're on 4 dogs, 5 cats, 2 rats, a dozen fish. When you start listing animals in dozens,
you actually
so
have
much.
Rats? Like, not mice, like rats.
I had a buddy that had 2 pet rats. They were called...
I didn't know you could do pet rats.
Yeah, they were called Janet and Latoya. And they were, as in Jackson, and they were amazing.
Yeah, no, I got it.
They were amazing. Some people out there are not going to get that.
That'd be weird if they were like, if you asked, so that's like the Jacksons? Like,
no,
who?
No. Who?
The most I ever had, we had 7 dogs. We didn't have anything else because my wife's allergic to cats. And then
that's
I've never done anything else. I've had fish when I was a kid, but I haven't had those in a long time. So, but we had 7 dogs at one point, which was, and half of them didn't get along. So that sucked.
All at one time.
There was about a 3-year period where we had 7.
That's wild. How do you arrive at 7 dogs?
So when I started dating my wife, she had a husky that she had had for a while. I didn't have any dogs. We ended up with another husky because we had a roommate that left and decided just to leave her dog behind. So
weird.
And then we ended up with a yellow lab mix because he was a stray. Then we ended up with a St. Bernard because my wife always wanted one. And then we bred her. So
awesome.
She had 4. We kept 2 of them. And then my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, she had some puppies, and my wife just fell in love with one of the same puppies, and so we grabbed her too. So
that's incredible. I do know that Danae would have an animal story this week if she was here, because she called me about something else and then immediately hung up because she saw a beagle running around in the road, and she was like, I've got to go. And I was like, are you okay? What's happening? There's a beagle. And I'm like, no, don't you get the beagle. You leave that alone. Do not adopt a beagle.
So I found out later that she spent about an hour with a police officer who was trying to capture this beagle. And
oh, yeah, she's great about that.
She will stop and she will try and rehome that dog as soon as possible.
She kept the dog for a few days recently, like in the last year, right?
Earlier this year. She found, it might have been a Labrador or something.
I can't remember.
But yeah, it was something that she homed for a few days and then reunited with the family. That's wild.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I decided to scroll last night, which was terrible, so it kept me up forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really made an effort to stop doing this, and I had a really great run at sleeping for a little while.
Yeah.
And then last night, I decided to scroll. Okay, were you scrolling? Were you doing, like, short scrolls?
Yeah, I did a little bit of shorts, yeah.
Let's go back and forth about, in just a couple sentences, which ones are in your algorithm, and then I'll give you an example of ones in my algorithm.
Okay, nice. So in my algorithm, I have, and this is very strange. I don't know why it's given me this, but the most random one I had was a game show. I assume it was a game show because it had like graphics and stuff, but it was blind hide and seek. And the people are it's one room. This lady is blindfolded. She has a water pistol and she's feeling around the room and everyone can move, but they have to move silently. So one guy is like hanging from some weights and then will pull himself up into the ceiling. Another guy is like hidden between the bed and the mattress. So she's like patting on the mattress and you just see his head sticking out between the bed frame and the mattress. Like, these people want to win.
One of mine that I don't know why I keep thinking about is making wreaths out of vines. And it was this, she's called like the Vine Lady.
Okay.
And she has this thick southern drawl and she's just taking vines that are growing in her yard that are not super dry. And she has one of those, what are they called? It's kind of like when a construction site delivers a massive amount of wire and it's all wound around
a spool,
a huge one though.
Mm-hmm.
And she has very cleverly like nailed holes at different diameters around the top, so it's kind of sitting up and then she spins it with her foot and wraps it around.
Oh, she's
nails.
Snow Whiting that shit. Wait,
yeah,
is it
it's
Snow
like
White?
A spindle.
Yeah,
well,
or is that Sleeping Beauty?
No, Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty has the spindle. Yeah.
And she's talking about how she's doing it and why she's doing it and when you cut the vine. And then she goes and she's like, and then you got to, you know, the last step. And she just like literally walks her yard and hunts around, comes back dragging a massive vine, wraps it around. And
nice.
she's just so proud of her work. So
that's
like that
beautiful.
One. I can't follow this guy, but if I could, I would.
Okay.
Because I don't know his name. I could probably look it up. It says incoming stitch.
Right. Yep.
It shows usually a woman doing a athletic feat of strength.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Last night, I've watched this person 7 or 8 times now. Last night, it was a woman who was doing a one-handed push-up where she rolls from her hand to her elbow. And then while she's on the elbow, she touches the back of her head. And then she pops back up out of this push-up.
Okay.
But it could be any kind of things like that where someone's doing a really amazing leg squat and then they just all of a sudden jump up to the adjacent box, mm-hmm. these kind of things. Yeah. And then it cuts over to this beautiful man who is chiseled of the gods in his home gym, I'm assuming. Nice, very professional. And his dog, Duty.
Wait.
I know.
The dog is called Duty or he
the
has
dog
a dog
is
Duty?
Duty.
Oh, okay.
It's
yeah.
so uh-huh. cute. And it's him going, he's complimenting these women by saying, well, she's a superhero. So I don't, you know, obviously she's not from this planet, you know, so he's doing this mm-hmm. kind of and trying to do what they just did and just struggling.
Aww.
And that's the entire thing is him
like just doing his best, even though he's a super strong looking person, he can't do these really intricate kind of things.
Yeah, there's different types of strength. Yeah. It reminds me of one. I didn't actually have it last night. It's incredible. It's, I love this so much. It's a stunt woman, and I specify woman deliberately, and she's got a friend who does like Olympic acrobatics, and the Olympic, it's a perfect combination because the stunt woman is like fearless and will do crazy things, but has zero acrobatic specific training. So the acrobatic lady will do this crazy like spin, vault, backflip thing. The stunt woman will eyeball it and be like, my turn. And then just fucking face plant every time. And like her body just gets thrown over. But she 100% commits to every move because she knows how to fall properly. Like if that's one thing stunt people can do, they do so much, but they know how to fall. Like they know how to take a hit.
The foundational element of what they do is falling.
You've got to be ready for it to go wrong and get yourself out of it quickly. So she commits, and it's most of it is just them cackling with laughter as the professional acrobat is like, what did your body just do? And the stunt woman is like, I don't know,
but I did it.
I'm okay. And it's such a clever overlap.
Somehow at the very end of my scrolling, I got into this algorithm and I only watched a couple because I like the peeking into the different ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about taking a drug that sends you into this very specific space.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't even know. I don't know if this is true, but this person was saying that there's a college, there's a drug, it starts with a D. It's like when they said the three letters that are this drug, mm-hmm. I thought of the DMV. So that's all I can tell you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That can be a drug to some people.
Apparently it lasts for 15 minutes or less. It's very jarring. People talk about like entering into some kind of alternate reality.
Interesting. That sounds horrifying.
They're jarred in and then they're just jarred back. And some scientists figured out how to elongate that system through dripping it. This college, there's these volunteers that go in for like an hour at a time.
Yeah.
And when they come out, they all apparently are describing a very similar thing.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And that they're talking to a similar being.
That's weird.
And that's the experiment right now. Is that, yes, we want to go and explore space, but we also want to explore that we might be adjacent to another reality that our brain can't process unless there's a drug that detaches just a little bit of something in our brain so that we can perceive things.
So that was
what the stitch was about.
That's interesting. Or
the thing was about. And then the very next one was somebody that was talking about this same DMV drug.
Yes.
And they were like, don't fucking talk to this thing.
Yeah. Don't give them any information about our universe. Like, don't. Loose lips sink ships. I think it's beautiful how we like to see stories and shared hallucinations are a genuine thing. I don't think it's impossible that there are realities adjacent to ours, but I don't think this is how we get to them.
Iris and I were having this conversation in the car on the way to school. I said something about like, what happens when we die?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think that there's part of us that exists beyond our body.
Mm.
And that part doesn't need to be attached to anything physical. So we can like go explore the universe and see what's out there. And
yeah.
And so my plan is to find you and my buddies. And we all hang out together. That's my plan. And she was like, I like that. I also think I might want to come back as a cat. I'm like, you know what?
Valid. This is genuinely one of my biggest fears, should I ever have kids.
Oh, God.
Reliving school is like the number one motivator for me to not have children. Because I'm like, I do not want to relive that vicariously through another human that has to go through 18 years or whatever of schooling. Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm scared about it. I've done what I personally feel like I can to give her the best chance to experience the trauma of meeting other people.
I'm living on a planet with utter bastards.
There, I had a chat with her the first like 2 or 3 weeks of her brand new school. And I was trying to just explain the difference between a friend and a classmate.
Mm, that's a good distinction because you have like the work and the friend thing that will come into play.
Well, and also like the school and people in general will say things like, you know, okay, friends, everybody, okay, everyone get your friend and listen to it. And we use that word very frivolously, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Very assumptive.
Yeah. And so she thinks, you know, that these people are her friends and so they should treat her a certain way. So then it hurts even more when they are going to act towards her a way that's different than the way that she would act. So I had to explain to her a couple different concepts and I think it went pretty well. One of them was that they're your classmates and you have to be with them for possibly the rest of your school career if we stay at this school and they do too. Yes,
potentially.
Like, and so you have to have an armor. If someone keeps hurting your feelings, that it's kind of like they're made of fire and you know if you get close to them, it's probably going to hurt. So you need to prepare yourself for that and put on a little bit of armor and decide to not listen to what they have to say if it's at recess and you just are playing. Like, but when they're your classmate and you're working on a project together, you do have to figure out a way to have your armor on and still be at school to learn. And the other part was not everybody has the same way of thinking about things that you do because they were raised in a totally different family. So you might think that chocolate is like the best thing ever, but maybe their family thinks chocolate's really bad because they all are allergic or something. So you two could be arguing back and forth about how good chocolate is or how bad chocolate is, and you're both right. So it's important that too. I've just been really impressed that she's been able to kind of like level out a little bit, but there's no way, no matter what I do, no matter how much time I spend, there's absolutely no way I'm going to help her avoid the utter bullshit that is going to just rain down upon her as she gets older.
Yeah. And it's like everyone digs in. Everyone digs into their side. Like the argument doesn't even matter. Like you can like chocolate and not like chocolate. It does not matter. But we want to be right. And we want to like convert people to our side of this debate that just doesn't matter. This is why I don't like sports.
Oh, so Duolingo. I was doing the year in review. I think I tried to take a screenshot of it. I think that their whole shtick to kind of carry on about the sassiness level of it all.
Mm.
I think that's part of their shtick.
Okay.
I'm in the top seven. They did the year end in review bit. And so it tells me I'm in the top 7% and I earned 11,000 points. And it's like, are you a legend? But then it says, yes, your 402 day streak was hot stuff. You're safe from Duo for now, but one slip is all it takes. It's just like this super foreboding.
That's so insidious.
And their notifications, if I'm reminded, is like, don't let your fellow friends down now.
Yeah.
It's just really dark.
Hey, Danae, don't disappoint your family.
Right?
By not practicing this language you're not going to use.
Sorry. There was a question about animal stories. I will share an animal.
Go for it.
The newest one is that I got out of the rhythm of purchasing the cat food that I've been buying, and I kind of had to shoot from the hip a bit, and the cat noticed and was very vocal with me, and I'm doing this thing now where I have to sort of attempt to interpret what the cat is telling me and trust my intuition, but at the same time, I have a dramatic flair. I don't know if you've noticed. And I have a vivid imagination. Maybe you heard of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what the cat is trying to tell me. And it's flipped from, give me food. This isn't the food that I wanted. This isn't the flavor that I like, to, I'm dying inside of worms and I need you to save me. There's something that changed in my head. Like, well, what if he's sick? What if I...
Oh, that's interesting.
And I'm not his owner. I don't pay his vet bills.
No.
And as he ran out the door the other day, I think I saw a worm hanging out of his ass and I tried to catch him so that I could like really get a good look at it and figure out if it was just a string or weirdness.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was a worm. And I'm like, is this so now?
So wait, did you have the suspicion before you saw what you thought was a worm or afterwards?
No, after that.
Okay.
Now I can't stop thinking about it. And then he's vomited a couple times. At least I think it's the cat.
Cats always vomit.
Okay. Thanks for telling me that. Yeah. I have no idea how to care for a cat. But one of them was like reddish.
Okay, red.
Like, what if it's blood?
Well, no, that could be.
What if he's dying?
Yeah, blood isn't usually a good sign in vomit, but it could be like the bird that he just ate. It is interesting because
he did eat a bird.
You're not responsible for taking him to the vets, but you do see him more, so you'll notice symptoms more.
I know.
So yeah, it is interesting.
I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should text my neighbor and be like, hey, our baby boy might have a problem with his gut. I don't know what the signs of, like, because, okay, so you told me, Ian, that cats like to tell you when there's something wrong with them by pooping or peeing or maybe vomiting where you can find it.
They'll often, so I've had three cats and all of them at some point have peed in the sink when there is like blood in their urine. And like they will deliberately tell, or like in the kitchen sink as well. Just to be like, hey, this is at your eye level. I know you go here. Look at what's happening to me.
So then I'm thinking, okay, well, then he's doing these things to tell me that there's something wrong, but I can't communicate with him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So now it's turned into the worry mom, and it's a bummer, but I'm enjoying it still, I think. I mean, I can't kick him out now. He is here all the time. He also has continued to take up sleeping in my car. I opened the garage door to leave and I called for the cat because he still hadn't had his breakfast yet. And the last time I didn't give him breakfast on time, he killed an animal. And so I was like, okay,
someone's going
to
pay for this. Someone's going to suffer. Yeah.
If she's not feeding me, I got to go take care of myself. So I was trying to save the bird population and he comes out of the car. When I call to him, he's like, here I am. And now I'm worried that he's dragging dead things into my car and hiding them because like my car kind of smelled really bad. But then I remembered it was because I left part of a tuna sandwich in there.
I'm sure he loved that. So. That probably explains the vomiting as well. I would message her and be like, hey, do you worm and flea thunderstorm? I don't mind doing it.
Also, can you sign this legal agreement that tells the world that this is now my cat?
Yeah, I mean, yes. All vet costs will now pass over to you.
Oh, man. He's right now has a smile line of what I can only assume is motor oil on his white face. And he's brown because he once again left the house and is just completely covered in dust. So it is a very interesting experience to have an outdoor indoor cat who I am certain if I don't start rolling up the windows of my car will be dragging in his dead prey into his little cave that he has, this insulated space in the garage. Winter is coming. And so I'm thinking like, is he liking to stay in the garage? He's not meowing to come in at night when it's cold. He's totally fine to stay in the garage. He's fine being a garage kitty, but I worry about him.
Yeah.
So naturally. I'm like, well, I'm going to bring him in and make sure he's okay.
Yeah. But it will, it's the hard part of having an outdoor cat is that at some point it may happen. Something terrible might happen.
The last time I asked her about worms, she said he doesn't have worms. And so it's like, I don't want to be like, you need to get the deworming pills.
It's kind of
so
awkward, isn't it?
It's a weird, it's a weird, awkward thing where I'm responsible for sharing his care information and she's responsible for deciding if she wants to get the medication. And then I'm responsible for saying, I'm going to go ahead and do that anyway. And then say, is that okay? Or just because I don't want to over medicate the cat. Obviously,
no. And so. You're kind of implying that she's not looking after the cat enough. Like it's awkward.
How could she?
Well, no, but I mean,
here all the time.
Yeah. But if you're like, hey, do you worm and flea him? It's kind of like, hey, do you bathe your child? Do you brush your child's head? Are you brushing your child's teeth? It could get into that territory, isn't it?
Yeah. Last night when I did ask him to come inside, I picked him up and brought him to bed and he laid right beside me and he snuggled into me.
So sweet.
And he wrapped his arms and legs around my arm and snuggled his head into my hand and rested with his hand in my head and went to sleep.
That's so sweet.
So
you were his wooby.
He does love me. Now, it's probably because, obviously, I feed him, but then
you
also
sure do.
I give him cat massages.
Yeah, on his little face.
And he really likes the cat massages.
You get it on like his little chin bits. His little.
Yes. Yeah. And then up around his ears and then down. I really get into his neck, you know, because he's a hunter. So he's got the little, he got the hunter stress going on.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about what happened today? You know how we always have like animal stories and stuff?
Yeah.
And not always, like sometimes I forget to tell an animal story, but I have a very, very specific one I need to get off my chest before we get started today.
Do it.
Okay. The cat was so lovey-dovey last night and he stayed inside and he slept in bed with me. So I had puppies around my legs and I had a kitty up around my head. And then he was just super, super clingy and purry and he fell asleep and he slept in the bed until 4 o'clock something in the morning.
Nice. That's good going for a nocturnal critter.
Yeah, he was super happy. And then he had to go to the bathroom, I assume, because he gets up, he meows. I get up and let him out, but he won't go out because it's 20 degrees outside. And he's decided that maybe he'll stay inside. But I'm remembering that he's been peeing, you know, in the house, and so he needs to go outside. But I close the door because I don't want to let the cold air in. So then he turns around and he starts prancing through the house. And then he comes back to the door and I decide this is my moment. I've got to do the zhuzh the cat out thing.
Yeah, the soft toe up the butt.
Yeah, I reach down because I'm like, I'm going to like lovingly pet him and then just gently scoot him out. But he was turning into like the cat air-filled noodle guy where he just starts to try to like get away. In that exchange, I have now experienced cat anal leakage.
Oh, no.
On my arm. And so something wet, you know, and I'm like, well, what is this?
Warning everyone.
And I decide it's wet. So I thought, oh, like, do I have a drip in the ceiling? And so I smell it like right up on my nose.
I'm going to vomit. Stop it. I've just eaten. I apologize, listeners. This isn't making it into the episode.
Just bleep it.
Yeah. I can't show any of this.
I go wash up and I get back in bed because it's, again, 4 something in the morning. And then I'm awakened at 8:30 by my dogs who are hyper excited about life in general. And I'm waking up and I'm like, oh, good. I get to start my day. And this time it's not going to involve anything gross or whatever. And nothing gross happens, I promise.
I'm ready to bath on this very expensive mic.
I'm serious. Nothing gross happens. Twix, who is the most needy dog.
Yes, he is.
I pick up my phone to see what time it is. Mm-hmm. And that fucking dog karate chops the phone out of my face, out of my hand. He just goes, wham, and hits it with his paw. Now, he's always pawing at me. Like, he'll come up and he will grab my arm with his paw, flex his little dog toes, and pull my arm towards him like, you need to pay attention to me. So he is very good with his paw. Like, he's like a trained, anyway.
He's got good dexterity.
I had such a bad double wake up.
Yeah, that's a rough start to your day and a rough start to this podcast.
Well, for the listener, this is the end of the podcast.
This is the end. You've heard all of the good stuff. If you're still
they've
here,
had
this
a
is
palate
on you.
Cleanser.
Yeah, this is on you now. If you're still here for this sick stuff, we're done. You've listened to the ads already or skipped them.
Well, there is such a thing as warm tea.
No, there's not.
Okay. One moment, please.
I don't want.
I've decided that instead of just continuing with my confident thought that I'm going to start just Googling everything so that I have.
But when I say no, there's not, it's as much denial. It's not me saying you're wrong. It's me saying I don't want this to be right.
First, let me tell you my experience with warm tea. Okay. So I have a friend. She wanted to compost her food using worms, right? So you can purchase worm houses.
Yeah.
Which is essentially a multi-tiered container where you can put it in, like you put your scraps on the top.
Yeah.
And then the worms are up there with the soil. And then, like, obviously they help to essentially accelerate the process of this stuff being, you know, like decomposed or whatever. And then, like, the middle layer is where the natural moisture from the process of compost settles down to the bottom and drips through into the next section. And then that is on an angle, if I remember correctly, and all of the juice slides down and goes into the bottom tier,
which you can then have like a little spout and you just open it up and it's called worm tea.
That's now, going to kill you.
You don't drink it. You put it back into your soil. Like
then it's
for the
not
garden.
Tea.
It's called worm tea.
It's not tea though, is it? Like tea is, it's not, if you're not consuming it, it's a composter. It's a food mineral. It's a
juice.
My camera refuses to focus on me because it's so disgusting.
Worm tea.
There's only one tea and it's.
And that is?
The tea that I give you.
PG tips.
PG tips. Yeah.
That's it.
It's just that one brand. Oh, and any other brand.
It's the PG tips.
Yeah. It is objectively the best tea.
Oh my gosh.
PG tips. I swear to God, if you sponsor us, I'll be the happiest man in the world. PG tips, reach out. Please give us a sponsorship deal. I will say the best things about you.
I'm watching the challenge. I'm at the part of the episode where they're having an eating challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that you don't like to talk about what happens when people have upset stomachs, we're not going to get to that part. But
thank you. Appreciate it.
They're eating. They always, like, one of the challenges is, like, we want to see you consume disgusting things and see if you can do it.
Are we talking, like, a kangaroo testicle or just a bucket of shit?
Well, this time... Well, a bucket of shit would actually be really dangerous to eat.
Well, yeah, but like my scale there was a reality show in England called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and Jackass. And Jackass they will just eat a bucket of shit. And I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is set in Australia, and they will eat kangaroo testicles and stuff.
It is more on the testicle side of things, mm-hmm. but it's like brain and an entire rattlesnake that's just been like... It's still a snake. It's coiled up with like its head and it's just like been smoked in a smoker.
Okay,
so
it's
just
being
crispy.
Cooked,
yeah, but it's like the whole fucking thing.
I'm okay with that.
There was a cow face with like the jaw and everything and they just have to like eat on it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Wow.
Because in my
I
head.
I didn't know this about you.
Yeah, that doesn't really bother me at all because it's all the animal. Like we eat it.
Yeah.
Like, as long as if it's raw, then I'm like, you're not really testing me. Like, you're testing if I'm going to get food poisoning here. But if it's, like, been cooked, it's just another part of the cow. So, like, I've eaten cow's hoof, for example, in a stew. And it's
you
or,
ate
like,
the
tongue.
Actual hard hoof?
Well, it's cow's foot. I don't know exactly.
There was
it doesn't
a fucking
look like
rat.
A foot. Yeah, just eat the rat. Just don't eat the bones. You'll be fine. Yeah. I assume they take the organs out.
No,
you could eat the organs as well.
No.
You could eat liver. Steak and kidney pie is great.
Pig brain.
Yeah, pig brain. As long as it's cooked.
Living huge worms.
No, and that's where I draw the line because that's living. It's not cooked and it's still alive.
But
that's,
boiled
I've got
cow
kill
eye
it
is okay.
In my mouth. Yeah, that's fine. It's just another part of the animal.
Duck embryo. Okay.
That's a little more fucked up.
Embryo?
Because
they're the delicacies of where they're at. These are like considered local delicacies.
Okay. I mean, that probably would, if they could sell it to me, I'd probably eat it.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's fine. But eat this beetle. I'm like, ugh, really? Could you not have like candied it and put it on a stick or something?
There was a person last season who could not do, they're like the big cockroaches the size of my hand and they were alive and they had to eat them. And this guy, he was really struggling with it. He couldn't do it. Or maybe I can't remember if it was a guy or girl, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so this person was like struggling and they ended up losing. This was like in the finale, maybe. This is when you push. This is when you do it anyway.
Yeah, you've got to. If you're going to make it the whole way, you got to be ready to do that.
I think he knew that his competitor was far enough ahead. He didn't have a chance. So he just kind of hung back and was like, I just can't do it. And so at the very end, he just releases all of him. He's like, you're free.
That's amazing. That's great. Run. Before you're used in the next season, get out of here.
Oh my God.
I love that. That's amazing.
I don't even remember how I got kicked off on that, honestly.
You just scat everywhere. I was trying to talk and you sang.
So the common denominator is me continuing to interrupt you.
I was doing some plays and you just went doop 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 beep boop. Oh, you said you've got like things to do or it's so nice. Yeah, you've got some free time and you're like, it's so nice and doop 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 beep boop.
Look at that, you scatted.
I did. Shit. So much scat in the outtakes this week.
Gross. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. I don't want it to freak you out about it, but I'll talk about it if you want me to, and I can describe it in great detail.
Stop it.
Here's what I have to do. Are you ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
Y'all ready for this?
Womp, 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 womp. Hey! Womp, 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 womp. Okay, do it again.
Do what?
I'm recording now. You can do the funny thing again.
Oh, okay.
I guess it wasn't that funny.
Thanks for listening. Want to connect with the show? Our hailing frequencies are always open through captainspod@cinemasins.com. Like, comment, and subscribe on your podcast player of choice, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.